Star Market Celtics today continues from Boston, from New Orleans, all points in between. Wherever you are, we're there. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. I got some odd stuff that I kind of jotted down today, but it's a strange time in the league. And I know that you just love to go with the
strange
flow anyway.
Time in the world.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. And I think some of that has translated.
Officially, I think it is officially true.
Are we going to do anything on the coronaversary of March?
No, that's a good question. So one of the things Jamie and I were talking about yesterday, we practiced, just kind of got loose after a long flight. It is so different on the streets of New Orleans right now, right? You know, one of the great things about traveling to New Orleans, as you would attest, right, are all the unbelievable restaurants and the different restaurants that people always tell you to go to. And I've had some great meals with Mike Gorman at a restaurant called Luke. And 4 years ago this weekend, we were here for the All-Star game, and it was absolutely packed. And then it's not. And it just kind of reinforces that, yeah, it is different. Like everywhere there's a reminder that we're just living in a unique time right now. And I'm hopeful that we can get that back, because part of the charm of New Orleans is those packed streets and those restaurants.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting as fans start to come back in and sort of all of these buildings. But in any case, there's more.
They've been here for a while.
You know, yes, they have. And as I said, as you move throughout the rest of the league, it was really kind of the point. There's more. Max and I were just talking about this. There's more statistical information available than ever before, which clearly can be dangerous in the wrong hands. Max and I, like everybody else, were talking about the double bigs because, you know, Tristan Thompson and Daniel Theis were so good together on Friday night. The eye test said it was sort of a work in progress early, but you were winning games. We all know Jeff Teague hasn't yet been the player that we've been watching for the last 10 years, but when he's been on the floor, things have gone well. At what point is there just, you have to take information and tear it up and throw it to the side?
I think that there's some of that. I mean, I think the eye test is really important. I think you use numbers to validate what you see. You may use numbers to challenge what you see and what you think, obviously. But a lot of times those individual plus minus on off numbers aren't weighted. They're not taking into account every factor that they need to. And then from the standpoint of the double bigs, the benefit of that was to get Rob more minutes. That's why we did it. Like it was, hey, three of our top seven guys are fives. And so we need to be able to play to their strengths, and they need to get better playing together. And you see a lot of the league starts big. So like today with Zion and Adams, or Zion and Hernan Gomez, if Adams doesn't play, you know, the other day, Collins and Capella, a lot of the league starts big. And so to be able to play that way when we're down one of our best players, which we basically have been all year, then is really important. But it also opens the door for more Rob minutes, and it allows us to bring Rob off the bench and manage his minutes over the course of a long season, especially coming off missing 50 games last year.
Are you surprised at how many people were sort of asking or seemingly anxious about the notion of Kemba being able to play back-to-back games when every time he doesn't, he goes crazy?
Listen, I would be at the front of the line raising my hand for that. Because here's what is nice about today. I didn't have to think about our lineup.
Yeah. How many times has that happened this year?
It hasn't. Yeah. Like, even on those back-to-backs, you're like, okay, now you're playing somebody. Let's match up here. Let's do this, because you don't have Kemba. And then we've had guys out. Theis missed those couple games. Like, it was nice to move on to this game and say, okay, we're going to play somewhat similarly to the way we did the other night, at least out of the gate, and then figure it out as the game goes on. Yeah, I think that is a big part of us. Like, Kimba's really played well in his last four games since we came back from the West Coast trip. I know it's shocking that a really prideful, great person who's a really good player would have four good games after two tough ones. I know that's shocking, but water finds its level. He's a really good one. And here's the other shocker. We're better with him. We need him bad.
Before we get to the Pelicans, although, as I'm sure you'll glean, this is in its own way a segue towards them. We are past sample size now. It's nearly 30 games in this league, and the offensive numbers are historic. Last year, Dallas had the best offense in NBA history. This year, there's four or five teams that are better than that. So in seeking a simple answer for something that's probably very layered and very complex, why? Why are the offensive numbers so insane?
Well, first of all, I don't think we're past sample emphasize in this given year because of the lack of continuity amongst every roster, right? So you don't have the same guys playing every night, and that challenges, like, when you're really evaluating statistics or looking at them, I think that challenges things. However, the offensive numbers are inarguable, right? And I think that that's just a function of everybody's more skilled, everybody's playing faster. I was telling a story today to the ESPN announcers before the game. I had a coach 8 years ago say, yeah, we're starting to work on pull-up threes. Everyone shoots pull-up threes now on every team. You've got four men, five men shooting pull-up threes off the dribble. And now the point guards are shooting pull-up threes at 30 feet, right? Trae Young, it's like, okay, how high do you want to pick him up? Because if you pick him up at 40 feet, he's going to draw a foul. And if you pick him up at 25 feet, he's going to shoot it, right? What are you, you have to pick your poison a little bit. The challenge of guarding all over the floor is significant. The challenge of guarding without a lot of continuity or practice is even greater. And I think that that both plays into the offensive boon, I guess it would be.
Can you see, and again, that could, on a separate conversation, this specific year could factor into that. That could be the, you know, that could be the answer.
Here's the other reality. Nobody's booing when you miss a shot.
That's,
and nobody's cheering too loud against you when you're on the road and you miss a shot. And I think, like, playing in front of fans or limited fans versus no fans certainly would impact, you know, shooting, at least by the percentages. I still think it's going to be, the offensive numbers are going to continue to skyrocket, but this is why teams are playing more zone. It's why teams switch all the time. It's why if you're long, versatile, and athletic, you'll have a long career in the next 10 years in this league. And it's why if you can't guard multiple positions, you get exposed pretty quickly when you walk out on that court.
All right. It's clear Zion's been special from the time he was, you know, people were first starting watching him. You know, we know what Ingram can do. He's one of the most improved players. This is what I find most interesting watching some of their games. After living his entire life in the spotlight, Lonzo's younger brother now is a rookie of the year candidate that everyone's talking about. It's almost for the first time, no one's really watching Lonzo, and he's shooting it great. He's not turning it over. I mean, he's playing so well, and yet almost for the first time in his life, no one's talking about it.
And he's a good defender with size and length. He pushes the ball, pass first player, but yet is shooting 40% from three. He's got a lot of things that he's doing really, really well. The 3-point shot was going to be the thing, right? 4 years ago when he was drafted, and he's answered that question. He's playing exceptionally well. You're right. It starts with Ingram and Williamson. When you're playing against these guys, they go to those guys in every which way. But Lonzo's shot making has certainly helped. Bledsoe's ability to shoot 40% from three and drive the ball. And then obviously when you start talking about guys like Redick off the bench, you got to account for a lot.
That's the head coach. You started by talking about being in New Orleans and how different it is. And this could be something that hadn't even occurred to you, or it's something that's running through your mind right now. But it occurred to me that the last time you were in that building and the last time you were in that room was hours after we learned about Kobe. And if you're anything like me, memories come flooding back. So not only the question is that in your mind right now, being back in that building, is do you think it's in the mind of some guys you have in the room?
It's a great question. The thing that I would say about this, and you and I have talked about this, this building for years and years has brought back great memories for me personally. I don't feel that way anymore. You know, I think like last year was a really tough day, and to see how not only everybody in the building was affected, but most specifically our guys were affected, I'll always remember that. And so that's the first thought I had when we walked into this building yesterday in practice.
That's a great answer, but I didn't hear anything after you said it was a great question. I just took my victory lap from there.
As you do.
Celtics or the Pelicans next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.